Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a tragic, sinful, messy world we live in. Only 10 days now into this new year, and the United States Capitol building has been attacked and breached. Censorship has taken over free speech in the country that is literally founded on free speech. Worldwide, more than 110 Christians have already been killed for confessing this Christian faith. COVID infections and deaths continue to increase, and there have already been 1.3 million abortions. To just put the last two things into a bit of perspective for you, there have been a total of 1.9 million deaths connected to COVID-19 in some way since its beginning about a year ago. There have been 1.3 million abortions in only 10 days. More than a year of COVID deaths is about the same as 15 days worth of abortions. Whether it's these or some other headline, these things of hate and violence and death, they all have something in common. Sinful, selfish people serving false gods. This is not how God created the world good. He will certainly not bless any nation that thinks so little of life, that calls what is evil good. But what he created good is now filled with evil because of our sin. And things are not getting any better. And they won't get any better in this life. Get that lousy evolutionary lie out of your mind for good. Things are not improving. The nature of man is fallen. And the whole creation suffers in this fallenness, and it will, until it is consumed in fire. And God delivers a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So is that it then? Do we just give up? Do we say, well, if we can't beat them, then we might as well join them? If it isn't going to get any better, then why am I worried about it at all? If everyone else is going to prosper from evil, then shouldn't we? Or maybe the way Paul asked the question, do we go on sinning that grace may abound? May it never be. God has not called us to a fatalistic hopelessness. As Christians, he has called us to a life filled with faith in a world that is faithless. He has called us to a life filled with love for neighbor, even and especially our neighbors who hate us. He has called us to repent of our sins, to live in our baptism, to confess the truth, all the while preparing for the life that is yet to come. And so, in dramatic contrast to our sinful nature, to our violent world, to the hatred of life, to all the anger and death that we see, comes Jesus, promised in the garden as God's answer to sin, born of the virgin as foretold, heralded by angels, worshipped by lowly shepherds and then by wealthy kings, chased by a wicked, illegitimate ruler, still taught by God and his parents in the synagogues and in the temple. And then in the course of time, he comes out into the wilderness, not demanding allegiance or sacrifice, not demanding protection or kingship. He comes out humbly, seeking to fulfill all righteousness. He comes out into the wilderness to go to battle against the one who reigns in the wilderness. He comes into the wilderness to go to battle against the devil, to go to battle against this evil fallen world, and even against your own sinful nature. He comes out into the wilderness and to the stream that flows in the wilderness to be baptized, but not for his own benefit, but for your benefit. He steps into the Jordan River as the holiness of God, and he who is holy, who is completely pure in himself, who is without any sin of his own, takes on all of your sins. He becomes your substitute there. He is baptized, and he will die for you. And then when he comes up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, and a voice came to him from heaven and said, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Sounds a lot like the words of creation. Everything he made was good. It is really hard to overstate the importance of this day, of Jesus' baptism, for your life and salvation. As we look at that Old Testament lesson, we see something that is very profound. As the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the water in the creation of all things, so also God spoke through his Son on that day and brought forth the light which he called good. Now on this day, on Jesus' baptism, the Spirit settles forever on the baptismal waters, and the Son of God reveals the light of God's glory in the darkness of a world filled with sin. All this while the Father speaks from heaven and is well pleased. Jesus had no sin to wash away, but still he was baptized. He willingly took on all your sins and the sins of the whole world. Who can even imagine such a burden? I know the weight of my sin. I know that they have earned me death. You know the weight of your sins as well. We would all be lost and condemned forever if not for a God of mercy. And here is that God of mercy. He steps into the waters of the Jordan River and he takes on your sins. He carries the weight of the sins of the whole world. And then just 3 years later, on a dark day in our history, the same Father who is pleased with his Son at the Jordan pours out all of his righteous wrath on his Son on the cross. That is how God answers the problem of your sin. And it is the only answer that can ever avail for your salvation. God has to die to save sinners. The holy, righteous one has to lay in death in order to save those who are in death. When you were baptized, you were washed with a lavish flood, Luther calls it. And in that flood of the water with God's word, your sins were washed away with that water that he has made pure. In that lavish flood, God put his name on you. In that lavish flood, you received the benefits of Christ's atoning work, of his death and resurrection for your salvation. This is how you receive the gift of God. Paul writes, "You were buried, therefore, with Christ by baptism into death, not just so that you would die with him, but that in order as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too would walk in newness of life. If you share with him in a death like his, so also do you share with him a resurrection like his." The baptismal life is the life of every Christian. It is the life that God has called you to. This life is a constant struggling against and dying to sin, and then in Christ rising again to newness of life. To have been baptized, to be made a Christian by God, does not mean that you no longer sin, but rather that you now hate your sin and that you struggle against your sin. That you repent of your sin and then believe with your whole heart that you are forgiven for Jesus' sake. This bears repeating. Perhaps an example from Luther's life would be beneficial. You know how he struggled against the devil, even at one point in time in his life, throwing his inkwell up against the wall, believing that the devil was standing right there accusing him. Luther also faced a battle similar to what we face, a political world that was hostile to the Christian faith, the Turk attacking and destroying much of the Christian world. But never did he despair and give up. When he struggled against the accusations of the devil, against his own guilty conscience that condemned him, against these warring Turks, and against all of the terrifying headlines of his world, he didn't go into hiding or despair. Instead, he called for repentance, and he fell on his own knees in repentance and pled for God's mercy. He said, "I am yours, save me." He made this sign of the Holy Cross, and he declared, "I am baptized into Christ." And that's what matters, isn't it? That's what matters in this life filled with sin and death, that we are baptized into Christ's death and also into his resurrection. This is also why I stand by the font when we invoke the name of the triune God at the beginning of his divine service to us. This font is where you were first given life. This font and holy baptism is the means by which you approach God's throne of grace now. It's right there in the middle, right in the way. Right in the way of your judgment and death. Right in the way of God condemning you. It is by the font that you come to his altar and receive his gifts. I stand at that font so that when you have confessed your sins, I point you also to the one who died for your sins and for everything that he has done for you. I stand at that font so as you hear the words of holy absolution, you hear heaven opened and your sins are again wiped away. And you can be certain that your heavenly Father loves you. Baptism is also the reason that when we are in danger, when evil is near, as it was often for Luther, when the invocation and the absolution are spoken in the service, when the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting are confessed, when the body and blood of Jesus are given, Luther teaches us to make this sign of the Holy Cross, not as a show of piety, but so that we would be put in mind of the work that Jesus has done for us in holy baptism, that we would remember the name of God that he has put upon us and that we bear, and that we would think of his salvation that he has given free of charge. You see, no matter what's in the headlines, no matter what evil surrounds you, no matter where or how you have sinned, no matter what this new year brings to you and your family, the statement is true. You are baptized into Christ. And when that last hour comes and the Lord returns for you, you will be ushered into the eternal life that he has purchased and won for you. Not because you're worthy of it, but because he has done everything necessary to save you. This is a messy, sin-filled world, but Jesus has overcome the world. He has paid the price for all of your sins. You are children of the Heavenly Father. Count yourselves as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And be certain that you are the Father's beloved child, that he is well pleased with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and his precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for his sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.